Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and on today's Basic Gospel program, we continue with our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide based on Bob's book of the same name. I hope you have your copy. If not, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link on the right-hand side of the home page. Now, this is a study edition, so we will not be taking live phone calls today, but the voicemail line is always open for you, so you can get your questions to us at 844-322-2742. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, that number is 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on page 10 in our study guide. So if you have a copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, turn to page 10, and we're going to cover the rest of this chapter and actually get into chapter 2 maybe
just blazing along.
A few minutes at the end of the broadcast. But this is really foundational truth that we all need to know, and I think it's one of the foundational truths that we miss as far as the gospel message is concerned. We think of it in terms of forgiveness, that when we come to Christ by faith, we receive forgiveness of sins, and that's true. Yes, we do. We are forgiven. All of our sins are taken away. But many people look at that as like a golden ticket that will grant them entry into heaven when they die. And then in the meantime, between the time of their salvation and the time they die and go to be with the Lord, they try to gut out the Christian life through human effort. And that's where we mess it up. And one of the reasons we mess it up is because we limit salvation to forgiveness of sins. But that is not the primary reason that Christ came into this world. He had to die to take away our sins in order to give us life. So in John 10:10, we read this passage that Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So that's what that passage says. So the question that we asked, why did Jesus come into this world? So that we could have life. Last week we talked about the reason that we need life. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, they died spiritually, and they passed that condition on to all of humanity. So when you and I came into this world, we came into this world dead spiritually. Now, Gina and I have a grandson, and he's about to turn 2 years of age. And when he was born, he was just so cute and just so innocent looking and just angelic.
Yeah.
But over these 2 years, we've seen signs of that spiritual condition. Slowly but surely, we see a selfishness there. We see an anger when he doesn't get his way.
Not your grandson.
I know. This is hard to believe. It's hard for us to believe as well. But the truth is, he has a spiritual condition that was passed on to him by his mom and dad, that we passed on to our daughter, that we received from our parents, and all the way back to Adam and Eve. We came into this world dead spiritually. And what do dead people need? They need life. And that's why Jesus came into this world, so that you and I could have life. In John chapter 5, verse 21, we ask the question, what is the offer of the gospel according to this particular verse? Well, here's what John 5:21 says. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. So we see that this offer of life is tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And since he's alive, he's going to give his life to whoever calls upon his name. So what is the offer of the gospel? It is life, life everlasting. So not only were our sins taken away and we receive forgiveness, but we are made alive together with Christ Jesus. And that is what grace is all about. The grace of God makes us alive together with Christ. And one of the most famous passages in the Word of God is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And many Christians have memorized that. If they haven't memorized it, they are certainly familiar with the words of Paul, that we've all been saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. We all know that. Well, what in the world does it mean to be saved by grace? What is Paul referring to here? What is the context? Well, the context is the fact that you and I were dead in trespasses and sins. And then we get to verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, and we read this, "But God," so you and I were dead in trespasses and sins. We followed the ways of this world. We followed the prince of the power of the air. We had the spirit of disobedience controlling us. We were by nature children of wrath, living to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what we were. That was our condition, dead in trespasses and sins, but God. This is just a powerful passage. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And then he raised us up and seated us in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. So what does it mean to be saved by grace? It means to be made alive together with Christ. That's one of the things that I include in my definition of the grace of God. It is God's act in Christ Jesus to make us alive together with him, and then to empower us to live this new life in Christ by grace through faith. Yeah.
Great stuff, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. We're looking through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And of course, it's a resource that has helped so many people arrive at a new and exciting place in their lives. And I speak, of course, of Bob's book by the same title, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Bob recounts that through many struggles in his high school and college days, he came to understand that the gospel is not about being better and doing better and trying harder to please God, but simply about resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the way your Christian life is supposed to work. The simple gospel is simply grace. To get your copy of the book and the study guide, click the link on our homepage, basicgospel.net, and order your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and allow God's grace to do its work in your life. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net. Bob, let's keep going.
Let's keep going. And just an encouragement to our listeners, we are celebrating the five-year anniversary of the book, which we've mentioned almost on every broadcast this month. And we're encouraging our listeners to buy additional copies of the book and spread the word. We need the grace of God in our nation right now. We need to spread the word about God's grace that has been poured out upon us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. People are confused about how to move forward in life. They're panicked. They're fearful. There are all kinds of things as a result of what's going on out there in the world today. Grace is what's needed. So let's step up to the plate and let's start handing out the grace of God, making it available, pointing people to the grace that's available to them in Christ Jesus so that they can rise above their circumstances and live in the newness of life that is theirs in Christ. So let's do everything that we can to spread the word. So go to our website, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Buy multiple copies there. Let's get this word out to as many people as we possibly can.
It'll be a sure blessing to you. We hope you'll take Bob up on that offer.
Yeah. So back to our study. So at the end of chapter 2, we finished that chapter with this statement: "You were dead, and now you are alive in Christ." Now, this was the truth that really revolutionized my life. For the first 8 years of my Christian experience, I was just running on the fact that I had been forgiven, that my sins had been forgiven, that Jesus was somehow the answer to my deepest need, but I was to live the Christian life through human effort. And so I constantly would give it my best, would fall flat on my face, would pick myself up, dust myself off, and promise God that I was going to try harder the next day. And I just went through that cycle of trying, giving it my best, failing, dusting myself off, trying again, yeah, and then trying again until finally I raised my hands in utter frustration and said, Lord, I can't do it. And about that time, I went to a Bible study, and the pastor or the teacher, the Bible study teacher, was going through the book of Colossians, and he got to that point where he said, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, God made alive together with Christ. He forgave all your sins. When I heard that, the Spirit of God just connected that to my heart. It resonated. It just clicked, and there was just this explosion that took place inside of me. I finally realized that I was alive in Christ and that Christ was alive in me. So let's not just brush over this and to think, oh, yeah, Christ came to give us life, and that's going to happen when we die. That's when eternal life is going to be given to us. No, no, no. You have eternal life right now. You've been made alive right now. That life is yours. It's the very life of Jesus Christ. He has given you his life. Man, think about that. Let that truth really soak into that mind of yours, because if you think through it and take it to its logical conclusion, it is just going to absolutely boggle your mind. Yeah. You were once dead in sin. Now you are alive in Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, I got that wrong for a long time. I missed that truth. And I just looked at Christianity as a self-improvement program. That, yes, I've made some mistakes. Christ died on the cross to cover up those mistakes. I didn't even know at the time that he had actually taken my sins away. So I didn't know that I had total forgiveness. But I knew that Jesus was the answer to my need, that I needed him more than anything else. And then I tried to figure out the Christian life through my own understanding. And it's interesting, Bob, one of the passages that I memorized very early in my Christian experience, and still one of my favorite verses in the Bible, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Yes, trust, sir, in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, that was a verse that I had memorized. Mm-hmm. And yet, when it came to living the Christian life, I was leaning on my own understanding. I was trying to figure it out, how to make it work on my own. And my human reasoning, my human logic, my human intellect just fell short time and time and time again. And so all I could do was try harder, dust myself off, try harder again, promise God I'm going to do it tomorrow, all of those things. Well, I had gotten it wrong because I just looked at Christianity as a self-improvement program, but it is not a self-improvement program. Now, I think we in the West, and particularly those of us who live in America, it's easy for us to fall into that trap.
Absolutely.
It is very easy for us to fall into that trap. Why? Because for most of us here in the United States, we have it pretty good. We have a pretty good life. And if you look at immigration charts and the immigration flow, people are coming into America. Americans aren't going out.
Right.
People are coming here. Why? Because they're looking for a better life. And here is more opportunity than any other place on the planet. So people want to get to America. Why? Because we have a good life in America. As citizens, we are free to pursue happiness. We're free to live out our dreams, and we have ample opportunity. And as a nation, Christianity is basically woven into the fabric of who we are. We look at our Declaration of Independence. We look at our Constitution. We see a Christian worldview embedded into those documents. So we've built this country based on the morals and values that we find in the Word of God, and so. We want God's grace to shine upon this country, and we want God to help us be better people, and we want God to help us be better at and more successful at the things that we do. And so we're looking to God for help, and that's kind of the idea that's out there in this country today. And so we think, hey, we're in pretty good shape. We just need God to come alongside and help us to become a little bit better. And that's the trap of seeing Christianity as a self-improvement program.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We are not good people who just need a little help. When we were lost, we were dead people. We were sinners who needed life and forgiveness. We needed somebody to stand in our place and take our punishment. And then once they had taken that punishment, we needed that same person to come back to life so that we could be made alive together with him. That's what we needed. So this isn't about self-improvement. This is about God doing a new work, making us brand new people. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, new creations. Mm-hmm. That's what we needed to be, new creations. That's what the gospel does to us. It makes us new in the Lord Jesus. But I got it wrong. I missed the boat as far as the real essence and nature of Christianity. And there was a lot of other people throughout history that got it wrong as well. The Apostle Paul was a person who got it all wrong. And when you look at his life and his pedigree and his background and his bloodlines and all of those things, he shouldn't have gotten it wrong. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied the Old Testament. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he looked at Jesus and those who followed him as threats to Judaism.
Yeah.
And so instead of analyzing and looking and asking questions, is this Jesus the one we've been waiting for? Has he completed our story? Is he calling us into all the promises of the Old Testament that were going to happen in this Messiah? Is that available to us now? Instead of asking all of those questions, he simply looked at Jesus as a threat, and he did everything in his power to get rid of him. Now, it just doesn't make sense for a guy like that who was so zealous to be God's guy, to be that rising star, to be the future leader of Judaism. It doesn't make sense that he missed the boat as much as he did, but he did. Why? Because he didn't see the story as it was being told by God.
Yeah.
He allowed his own sin, he allowed the law to blind him to the good news about Jesus Christ. And so when he was confronted with Christianity, when he saw it starting to take root and some of his Jewish brothers starting to follow Jesus, it angered him. He was really angry about that whole thing. Now, we read a lot about Paul's story in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to briefly look at that. And he starts out and he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And he goes on and says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. So he's given a warning to the true believers, true Christians, and he's saying, watch out for those who are going to try to make Christianity something different than what it is. And they're going to boast about who they are based on their flesh, their bloodlines. And if anyone can boast, I can boast more than them. And he gives some of the reasons. He says, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church as to righteousness under the law, blameless. That's a pretty good pedigree. And yet, even with that pedigree, Paul missed the boat. He did not understand the story of Judaism, that the story of Judaism is really the story of Jesus Christ, of this Savior that was going to come into this world and was going to overcome sin and death so that everyone could experience new life by grace through faith in him. That was the story that was being told. That was the story that he missed. And instead of looking to this Messiah, Paul looked to the law for his means of righteousness and for his means of life. We see this in Romans 7:10, and it's a telling passage and one that I encourage people to really read and look at and see what Paul is saying. In verse 10 of Romans 7, he says this, the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. So what was he relying upon for life? He was relying upon his obedience to the law. Mm-hmm. And what did he discover through that? That his obedience wasn't sufficient to earn eternal life. And so instead of receiving life as a wage for his good works, the law brought death to him. Yeah. And that's what the law does to all of us. The law is a ministry of judgment, a ministry of condemnation, and a ministry of death. That's what the law does, and that's what the law did in Paul's life. Now, when he was relying upon the law, he was like those Pharisees that Jesus spoke to in John chapter 5. He said, you guys, you study the scriptures, and you're diligent at it. I mean, you really study. You dig into it. And in doing so, you're hoping to find everlasting life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me for life. Yeah. Paul was one of those guys. He was studying the Word of God, studying the Old Testament scriptures. He was reading the prophets. He was reading the law. And yet he missed Jesus. So much so, he was ready to put an end to the religion that sprung up in light of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He wanted to rid the world of this way. Well, next week we're going to see how God changed his mind in an incredible encounter on the road to Damascus.
Yeah, changed Paul's mind. Well, friends, thanks for being with us for this study edition of Basic Gospel. You know, to get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace link on the homepage of our website, basicgospel.net, and you'll be ready for next Friday's study. We hope you'll do that. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership in this gospel message to keep the good news coming. Donate now or over the weekend at basicgospel.net. We're in this together, friends, so let's pull together. And again, click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We encourage you to do that. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. And again, inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. It's been great, a great series of studies. We hope that you will join, Bob. Well, that's it for now, everybody. So stay safe, have a great weekend, and join us again on Monday for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.